Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Our Friday baseball doubleheader continues 1 hour from now. Reynaldo Lopez doesn't have a win, but he's been outstanding in 2018. Looks to continue his great start tonight in Kansas City. Baseball night in Chicago previews the matchup at 6:30. Jason Benetti and Stephen Stone have the call at 7 o'clock. Go Sox! Meanwhile, a good afternoon on the north side. Cubs get another win over the Brewers, and Yu Darvish doesn't melt down in the fifth. Are his early season struggles behind him? And meet the newest Chicago Bear. Former Georgia Bulldog Roquan Smith is the Bears' newest linebacker. Will he add to the franchise's legacy at linebacker? And what will Ryan Pace do tonight in the second round of the NFL draft? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you're ready for a great weekend. I'm David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. From ESPN 1000, he's the one and only Chris Black, Ben Finfer, and Seth Gruen. This is going to be fun, boys. All right, Bears take Roquan Smith with the eighth pick in round one last night. For me, Chris, we talked about it this morning. This is a no-brainer pick. He was the best guy on the board. He fits a need.
It's a no-brainer, but the reason it's a no-brainer and we're kind of skeptical going in is because of the moves Pace has made in previous drafts. So it's good that's a no-brainer. Do the right thing. Be safe. And let's try and win some football games.
Yeah, he's the best guy at his position. Not only was he the best guy available, but the best inside linebacker on the board in the entire draft, at least according to everybody's grades. And while that's not necessarily an impact position in a 3-4 defense, it can be if the guy's really good. We've seen it with the 49ers defenses under Vic Fangio. We've seen it even here when Danny Trevathan has missed games over the last few years. It's made a big difference for that defense. So he could have a big impact, even though that position isn't typically one that brings a lot to a 3-4.
Chris, you alluded to it. I think Ryan Pace, obviously, in previous years has gone out of the box, so to speak. Not just in trading up to get guys, but with the selections he's made in general. I think that this pick is obvious. I like when teams go best on board because I never see a reason to devalue a pick. Unless you have a franchise quarterback and maybe a quarterback's your best on board there. But, you know, each pick is a currency that's been covered ad nauseum. Why would you devalue that currency? Why would you pay a dollar when something costs 90 cents? Here, I think you got full value for that pick.
Yeah, I really like the pick, and after watching him today at the press conference, and by the way, our Enken Law Sports Talk Live poll question, go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. How did you feel when the Bears took Roquan Smith? You loved it, liked it, meh, or you disliked it? Look at the numbers. Disliked it right now. What is wrong with you? I don't get that.
Maybe that's based on what Ben said, that it's not an impact position in a 3-4 defense. But
I can't influence a vote.
But look.
And yes, you can. Maybe not the one you want.
The way I look at it is.
Well, I mean, you look at that, and it's like, what if that didn't make you happy, what would make you happy, right? Because he's a stud player. We saw him in college. In the Final Four of the national championship, he was a guy that popped on the screen. So yeah. Why would you not like a guy?
It might be people who wanted Quentin Nelson, but he wasn't on the board when they picked. So
they did try and trade up to five and were rebuffed by Denver. But that was probably to take Bradley Chubb, who fit a need and was the best rush guy on the board.
And Denver wasn't going to trade out. Once Chubb fell to them, there was no way they were moving out.
Correct. Look, I get it. You focus more on the outside linebackers in a 3-4, but there's nothing to say that this guy can't be that impact guy. I mean, you can make plays from the inside of that defense. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I get what you're saying. I'm not disputing it. But great players are going to shine no matter what the scheme they're in.
Yeah, so. No, I'm not. I'm saying he could have a huge impact. Yeah. He's not a pass rusher. That's normally what you want to add to a defense like this. But there wasn't one available. You got the best guy at inside linebacker. It also happens to be a need for the Bears. So it was perfect in a lot of ways. It, you know, another linebacker to fit the Bears tradition too.
You know, it's good that he's adding to the front seven as well, because you can never have enough depth within the front seven. And this Bears defense was really good last year at the start of the season. And what happened? Injuries, right? So if you can build more depth within the roster on defense, I think it's a positive all the way around.
Yeah, and I'm not going to sit here and dispute that the NFL is no longer a passing league, but you can make the argument that the running back is coming back. We saw Saquon Barkley taken with the second pick. We saw a run of running backs in the first round last year. So teams are putting an emphasis on getting that stud featured type back. So, you know, the way to rebut that is to draft a player like this.
Well, I think the good thing about him is he could cover both. I mean, he's good in the run and against the pass.
And I just, all the character things seem to be, you know, there's no risk there.
Leader.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Now, the downside we should mention is that he has been criticized for his ability to get through a block. But that's a criticism you hear a lot of young linebackers coming into the league. In fact, that was Brian Urlacher's knock. I mean, part of his career.
It's not easy to shed a 330-pound guy either. So, I mean, and there are red flags, so to speak.
You know,
there
are criticisms 6'1", of every 235. Player. He's probably going to have to get to 245 probably to be successful in the NFL, 10 pounds of muscle. But does this mean Ryan Pace, he took a project with Kevin White, who didn't know the route tree but had great athleticism. He took a shot at Leonard Floyd, who had to develop and put weight and strength on. He took a quarterback who had started 13 games in 5 years, including going back to high school. Now he takes a plug-and-play guy. Is it time for them to say, okay, game on, let's win?
Yeah, I think it is, because I think going forward now, if he's adding players who are immediately becoming starters and having impact on this team, we can look past some of the questionable moves he's had. And you can kind of look at Trubisky and moving up and giving away picks to get him. If that works out and now going forward he has guys who are plug-and-play players, I think everyone would be okay with it, because let's be realistic. He can't miss on another draft.
No.
Even if Trubisky's the guy, he can't go 0-4 for this draft. So he has to have guys that have impact soon.
Yeah, there still is a big hole at pass rush on this team. Yeah. Leonard Floyd is your number one outside linebacker, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And until they fill that need, and hopefully they'll be able to do it either tonight or this weekend, I still have some doubts about that defense. I love the addition of Smith, but they are missing pass rush.
But at the end of the day, as we've seen time and time again, if Mitchell Trubisky is that franchise-type quarterback, if he's, let's say it right now, a Hall of Fame-type quarterback, Ryan Pace is going to keep his job, because we've seen it with Aaron Rodgers. He's done a lot with nothing. We saw Peyton Manning go to several playoffs with not much around him. So if Mitch Trubisky can be that type of guy, and look, I'm not saying that he's going to be. I'm not saying that he is. But if he can be, then I think Ryan Pace is in good shape regardless of how the other drafts turn out.
Yeah, I don't think he has to be to the level that you're referring. If Mitchell Trubisky is Matthew Stafford or something like that,
I don't agree there. Because
I'd like a little bit better than Stafford.
We're talking about
good.
It, but we're talking about it in the context of his draft performance in the draft. And if Trubisky ends up becoming Matthew Stafford, then this team isn't going to the playoffs year in and year out. And you're looking at the other draft picks and saying, well, he didn't put a lot around him.
You're telling me that if Matthew Stafford's ability level is where Mitchell Trubisky ends up, multiple 4,000-yard seasons, I think one 5,000-yard season, you wouldn't take that?
I would take it.
I'm not saying I wouldn't take it. We're not on the same page here. I'm saying that in the context of his performance in other drafts, so in other words, as Chris alluded to, if he has bad drafts after this, but Mitchell Trubisky is of an Aaron Rodgers-type caliber, that is going to save his job. If he's at a Matthew Stafford-type level, then
someone else will be using him
exactly
to get to the playoffs.
And then they have to hit on other drafts because they're going to need more around him. That's what I'm saying. Would I take that? Yes. But that means that Ryan Pace needs to do better than he has in previous drafts moving forward.
So if Roquan Smith is a all-pro type linebacker, he's a perennial Pro Bowler, one of the best, but the rest of this draft is meh. Is it a successful draft?
I would say if you get an all-pro perennial Pro Bowler in Smith, that's a pretty successful draft. But it is still going to depend, as Seth's saying, on the quarterback.
For me, I said to Chris this morning, I think you've got to get two really good starters out of this class, and then one contributor that plays.
It'd be nice. I mean, yes, that's how you build teams, is you got to build it through the draft. You can't just keep relying on free agency. But if you're telling me that Roquan Smith is a Pro Bowler on an annual basis, that makes up for a lot of other possible mistakes.
I think you have to get three starters from this draft because of what has happened in the past, who he's missed on, Ryan Pace, that is, who was missed on with Phil Emery. I think three starters are an absolute must in this draft. And if he doesn't, then maybe the nine wins that Cap predicted for this team this year, that may not happen. Now, if he gets three starters, two impact players, I could see the Bears being pretty damn good this year.
If you're talking about getting him three starters, you're probably talking about an offensive lineman. He definitely needs to find somebody there. Maybe
can you find a slot wide receiver? Can you find?
Yeah, that's probably the places, because you already have your starters at tight end. You have your secondary pretty much is already filled out.
You need a running back who can help you in the pass, but you need one who can help you in the passing game in that offense.
They're
going to need to go out and draft a running back.
The kid at LSU, Darius Geis, really good.
Stud. And they also need more pass
rush. Kerryon Johnson from Auburn, really good.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I don't know exactly where they're going to go. Right now, 66% of you, 67, have loved the selection of Roquan Smith. Again, the Bears will sit at number 39 starting round two tonight. We'll see if they trade up, trade down, or stay right where they're at for their next pick. They do not have a third-round selection at this very moment. Baker Mayfield went number one in the draft last night, surprising many observers. Mel Kiper said, never, ever, ever would have believed Baker Mayfield would be the number one overall selection, but he is. The Cleveland Browns now have him and Denzel Ward at number four. What was your take on Baker Mayfield? That surprised me.
You know, I think he's a winner. I think he'll be really good. I am surprised that he's the number one quarterback selected out of this entire group. I thought Darnold was really good. I think Rosen's really good. I think all three are going to be really good. All three are better than Josh Allen, in my opinion. I am shocked that Baker Mayfield went one to the Browns, though. What do you guys think?
I am, too. I thought Sam Darnold, a year ago we all thought it was a sure thing that Darnold, and I know he didn't have as great a year. I still thought he was the best prospect out of all of them this year. You can never say a guy is a sure thing, but I thought of these four top guys, he was the closest to it.
I don't know that Baker Mayfield was on anybody's radar heading into the season, even maybe as a mid-first-round pick, and obviously helped himself this past year. But I'll say this, I was surprised to see that only three quarterbacks selected number one overall are in the Hall of Fame. Now, obviously, that's going to change with Peyton Manning. But that said, there's no real manual in this situation. And I look at Baker Mayfield, and he's a winner. And
Not anymore. Not going to the Browns.
Well, yeah, but I mean, look.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Is there a Browns flag that he position. Can plant anywhere?
Seriously.
Right? Like,
all right, not a bad afternoon on the north side of our city. Cubs edge the Brewers for a second straight win. Yu Darvish doesn't implode in the fifth. Can we all now R-E-L-A-X? Take that, Chris.
Oh, geez.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Is that cool? Just to kind of even out the offense, talk a little bit about everything.
Yes.
So there's that.
That was so awesome. Javi Baez just having so much fun playing the game. And the look on Kelly's face is just fabulous.
The greatest part about that is how proud of himself he is.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And then as he leaves, Al Moore is going out the rope, go to center, takes a handful of sunflower seeds and throws them at her.
Yeah,
they all have a great relationship with Kelly, and that was just a lot of fun, a lot of laughs to see. All right, let's talk about Yu Darvish, because he needed to go out today. And look, there's no must wins on the 27th of April, but he needed to pitch well, and he did just that. He was a three-hit performance through six innings, Ben. He was really locked in. This is the fifth inning. Gave up a hit to the pitcher. Now, that pitch is down. It's close, but down. All of a sudden, he's got to find a way to get the job done here against a really good hitter in Yelich. He does it, and he gets out of it. And it's like, whoa, I can navigate the fifth now.
That was the hump he needed to get over. He had had already the one good start against the Brewers earlier in the year, but it was great to see. He was dominant today. The only run he gave up was because of Jason Hayward's drop ball.
Right.
I don't know what the deal with Hayward has been.
I know.
It's weird to see him do that, but he was great. He was using his whole arsenal. You saw him incorporating some of those other pitches later in the outing, and
that 64-mile-an-hour Ephus pitch
yeah,
was amazing.
And that's like his sixth pitch that he has. So that was great to see. If they get more of that, they're going to be in good shape.
That's what you paid for, right? That's exactly the Yu Darvish that Cub fans thought they were getting in the offseason. So, you know, a game in April where he goes out, he pitches well, he gets through the fifth, that's a great thing. But it's all about the pressure situations mentally. Can he get through those situations? Something we'll just have to watch throughout the summer.
Well, yeah, and if it's a mental thing and today was that seminal moment where he got over that mental hurdle, then, yeah, I'm not worried. But we don't know that. You know, this is a guy with an injury history. And time again, we've seen free agent pitchers sign lucrative deals only for their arm to just fizzle out. We just don't know enough about the anatomy of a pitcher's arm to not worry. I mean, Barry Zito is a cautionary tale.
Correct, but Barry Zito didn't have the kind of stuff this guy has. He's sitting at 95 today.
Yeah, his stuff has been great. Like, that was never the problem even in his other starts. I mean, he's been hitting his velocity. He's been showing all of his pitches. It's just been that fifth inning where he's hit the wall. But other than that, his stuff has looked really good all year.
Yeah, so maybe it is a different scenario. But again, we just don't know enough about what's going on in his arm or any other pitcher's arm. So, you know, I'm always concerned anytime a guy takes the mound. Is this going to be the day where he suddenly just regresses? Because it happens so quickly and overnight.
All right. We're just 2 months away or so from NASCAR's return to Chicagoland Speedway, and a familiar voice will kick off the Cup Series race. Jim Cornelison, you remember him, great voice of the Chicago Blackhawks. He will be in our studio next on Sports Talk Live.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
We're a little over 2 months away from the Stars and Stripes NASCAR weekend, June 28th to July 1st at Chicagoland Speedway, leading up to the Overton 400 that Sunday. And the festivities for the Cup Series race includes the singing of our national anthem by the one and only Jim Cornelison, who joins us along with our guy, Chicagoland Speedway President Scott Paddock, who's here every week. Good to have you guys. Look, you are a tradition unlike anything anybody has seen. You're so good, and you're so identifiable with Chicago sports. It's got to be pretty cool to be singing for the billions that pay attention to NASCAR.
It's awesome. I love coming down there. Scott's been great. The people at the track have been great. And, I mean, is there a more appreciative crowd, right, than a NASCAR crowd
digging
for the military?
It.
Scott, they're all been, you know, so supportive. It's been a great thing to be part of.
Stars and Stripes weekend, and it's going to be really, really cool to see the patriotism.
I mean, NASCAR does patriotism in a very sincere way, probably more so than any other sport. They truly recognize and honor and appreciate and value the role that our servicemen and women play in defending our freedoms. And the move closer to the 4th of July weekend for us with our new Cup date and this Stars and Stripes platform makes it even more relevant to have Jim connected to our weekend. And I will tell you, our fans, many of whom come from out of state who have never seen this before, they leave, and in our post-event survey, one of the biggest things they cite is the pre-race experience at NASCAR, and he's a big part of that. So it's an honor for us to have him as part of our tradition now.
All right, so I go to the Blackhawks games with my wife, and you have this tradition when you point to the flag. And you've told me this story once before, but I want you to relate it for the audience where that started.
That started in the 2009 playoffs. And I used to do, when I would sing the anthem, the flag was still there, like this, kind of understated. And one day I went back to my seats, and there are these three women who sat behind me, older ladies, and we give each other a hard time a lot, right? So I came back one time, and they were like, hey, they hit me on the back of the shoulder, you know, hey, we didn't see the hand today. And I said, oh, did you fall asleep? You know, what's you know, why didn't you see the hand? And so they gave me a hard time. I said, I'll do a little higher for you next time. So the next time came out, the flag was still there. And I heard just a little bit of a from the crowd, right? Went up to the seats, the old ladies again. Didn't see the hand. What's going on? I said, you guys really got to get your eyes checked, whatever, you know. So the next time I went out, I did this. The crowd went, oh,
crazy.
And after that, it was like, hey, game on.
Game on. Yeah, it's just such a great tradition when you point to the flag and being connected with this great event. Is this the biggest crowd you've ever sung in front of?
The
NASCAR.
The NASCAR, probably the Stanley Cup rallies for the Blackhawks.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's hard to beat, you know, when they say there's 3 million people downtown or something, you know.
That's a little bigger.
That's a little hard.
We're just a little shy of that.
just a little bit.
But I'll tell you, it's an impressive crowd, and those grandstands are like standing in front of a tidal wave when you're standing there looking at them. It's a very exciting time to go into the Speedway down there and have that one time of the year, the grand event. And I love the energy. It's very exciting to be part of it. Always gets my heart racing.
What else do you have planned? Because it's right around the corner, man.
It is. Well, you know, these race weekends are about much more than just the racing action. Music is a big part of it. So Randy Houser, country music superstar, 4 number one hits, is going to be singing. And we have just all of the military branches represented. The American Legion is going to be a part of the weekend, the Freedom Riders. So it's just you're really going to sense the patriotism, the pageantry with Jim, with the flyover, with the fireworks, and that command to start your engine. So we're really looking forward to it.
Right?
It is.
The biggest tribute to the military ever.
All right. Well, we got to make our picks. You get to go first.
I'm going with Brad Keselowski. I think we're at the Super Speedway, Talladega, restrictor plate racing. Longest track on the circuit, 2.66 miles. Keselowski's got a good track record there, and he's got to check his box and qualify for that playoff run, and I think he's going to do it this weekend, Cap.
I think I'm going to go with Joey Logano.
Okay.
All right. See if he can get me some.
Can I choose a random one?
Yeah.
Well, in honor of your shaved head and the beard or whatever, I'm going to choose Jay Blunk because you guys just look from the Blackhawks because you got, you know, that's mine.
Can Jay drive fast? Is he a fast driver?
I think he would like to, okay.
No question about it. All right, guys, thank you for being here.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there you go. Congrats to this week's Chicagoland Speedway sweepstakes winner, Zach Zivkovich from Crown Point, Indiana. Say that 10 times fast. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/Speedway for your chance with 2 tickets to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Overton's 400. And 1 grand prize winner, you'll win a trip for 2 to Vegas to the win for the NASCAR Awards Ceremony. Enter right now, NBCSportsChicago.com/Speedway. And as always, you can get your tickets right now for every race at the Chicagoland Speedway. Go to ChicagolandSpeedway.com.